Blog Talk Radio.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Howdy, everyone, and welcome to another edition of One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, and I'm coming to you live from Palm Springs, California. And I can say that we've made it through the summer, and it is now we're going into what we call the fall weather, which is probably not really fall for most of you. But in Palm Springs, it's turned out to be quite a wonderful time. It's like, I don't know, maybe 80 during the day, 85, 90 during the day, low 60s, maybe high 50s at night. So we're very excited. We out here, we say, oh my God, we made it through the summer because it's so hot. Anyway, everyone, please follow us on social media. I'm at Jasper Cole Says, S-A-Y-S, on Twitter and Instagram. You can also go to Facebook. We have a page there for the show. I have a page. And you can always go to jaspercole.com, and there's a one-on-one with Jasper Cole link that you can follow as well. But I can't do the show without my trusted co-host. So everyone, please welcome Mr. Ralph.
Sun
up in the sky.
Stormy weather.
Stormy
weather. Hello, Jasper. Hello, planet Earth. Thank you for having me.
Ralph, how are you? We are in November. November has sprung, and we are just...
Oh, my God. November has sprung. I am feeling good. It's... It's a wonderful time of the year. Rose's birthday will be happening at towards the end of the month in about 2 weeks, so I'm excited about that. And I wanted to thank all my fans for tuning in last week for the very provocative production of Dementia that I was a part of and got to star in with the Latino Theater Company. As you know, Jasper, we were able to live stream the 2010 production on YouTube, and which ended last week on November 5th. So I want to thank all the fans and all the newcomers that got to see it. And while I'm still talking, I wanted to let Planet Earth know.
Well, you just started talking, but go ahead.
Okay, no, and I'll keep on going because my voice will be heard. But Jasper was very instrumental in me getting cast in Dementia, because when auditions were happening, when the casting notice was put out and I was very ripe for this lead starring role, Jasper highly enthusiastically encouraged me to audition for the production, saying to me very point directly, because he's very direct like that, and he likes to, you know, really cut to the chase and say, Ralph, you need to let people know, you need to remind people and the industry why and how fierce you are. Because my last big claim to fame in terms of a starring role on stage had occurred with the award-winning Sisterella. And as great and grandiose as that production was, that was in the past, and it was time to, like, you need to refreshen and rejuvenate and do something new. So I went to the audition just with all kinds of excitement, and the Latino Theater Company embraced me as one of their own. Even when I suggested to them, I said, y'all can't find a Mexican to do this part, because I was
Is that how you said it to them?
I said it like that to them because I was singing 14 songs, 7 of them in Spanish. And I just thought, wow, you know, this is going to be a huge undertaking. They were like,
and
no.
7 in Russian.
And no, just it was only Spanish. It was only Spanish and English. And so, you know, the rest was history. And I did the show.
And let me just say, can you also tell the planet Earth that, you're not fluent in Spanish. And so you actually, I mean, you can speak Spanish, but you learn these songs phonetically.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I learned them phonetically and I learned what they meant. So I knew what
right.
I was saying. But it's not like I can just hold, I can make myself understood with all the stuff that we do here in Los Angeles where I need to speak Spanish. I can always get by. But in terms of performing a song, because I was representing this torch singer, Lupe, and my big concern was that I would be considered a big old fraud from the Latino and Chicano community, which I wasn't. They thought I was one of them, but I worked really hard. I already have a good accent in Spanish, but I needed to know their idiosyncrasies, their idioms in their language, and understand what am I saying when I sing this part of the song so I could really sell it. So yeah, you're right. Phonetically, with the help of all of them, because they all are fluent in Spanish, it really helped me. So,
and also you were an African American. So you had, they cast an African American playing this role, which I thought was brilliant because that's something out of the box. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's,
totally. Jasper. And you encouraged me to go. And I was like, but it's Latino Theater Company. You know, they are going to, you know, they're all Mexican. And you were like, go and prove yourself. And that's what I did. And Lucy Rodriguez, one of the founders, the Latino Theater Company is to 10 people. And they've all been together over 30 years, developing,
wow,
35 years, developing plays and being a really close-knit group. And Lucy is so sweet to always say, when I saw you in the lobby waiting to come in and audition, I came, she was going to the bathroom, the restroom, and when she came back to them, she said, you guys, if this guy can sing, our prayers are answered. And sure enough, I went in there and sang my song. I sang a song for them in Spanish, and that I learned years ago, an Argentinian song, and sold it. And they were like, you're in. And that's why I said to them, y'all can't find a Mexican, because they had originally done the play in 2001. Mm-hmm. And that was the very first time they did the play publicly. And the person that played the part that I got was Mexican. So
mm-hmm.
Now here I am in 2010, 9 years later, and I'm like, you guys know so many people that you could just offer this part to. They worked with me. Because one of the songs that I sang for the audition was higher. I'm a baritone to a G. And one of the songs was more for a tenor, because the guy that played the part before was a tenor. I sang the fuck out of that song and
mm-hmm.
got through it. But then afterwards, I said to them, I can only do that once. We'll not be able to do that 8 shows a week, else my throat will be bleeding. And they were like, no problem, Ralph. We will have it transposed, and which I did. And I hired David O. He is a noted musician and conductor here in Los Angeles in the musical theater industry. And he transposed all my songs for me. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, so it's really
well, and I let's say also, so I got to see it 2010, and it was amazing. As Ralph just brought down the house, it was really. I mean, first of all, the entire production was amazing. Sal Lopez in the lead role, the whole supporting cast. I mean, it was at LATC downtown, which is one of my favorite theater. You know, there's several theaters, but I love that whole complex. But then the best news was. Then 7 years later, in 2017, you did it again.
We reprised it, and I want Planet Earth to know this. Oh God, Jasper, I just got goose pimples.
I mean, you were 74 the first time, and you did
right.
it at 81.
And Norma Michaels was able to see
yes.
it the first time with you. But the thing that is so special, and I was just saying this to the guys last week when we all did a Zoom thing together, So I did it in 2010, and Sal Lopez and Yerbany Lucero, his wife, she's the choreographer. Sal stars in the play, and I play his alter ego. So I know them, of course, through the theater world, and Sal and Yerbany also participated in CrossFit exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an annual tamalava party, which is just an American version of making tamales around Christmas time, right after Christmas. And so I had been going to their house every year after I met them in 2010 to go to these parties. Well, in 2013, my husband, Michael, was at this party. My future husband was at
this
party.
Well, wait, you didn't know him.
I didn't know him. He was going to be, I didn't know he was going to be become my husband. When I went to the party, so I knew them. So I had gone to their house 2010, 11, 12, and now it's 2013. It's the annual party. Here I go. I'm there at the party. And what – oh, God. They have
let me say something because I want to set it up. So I've known Ralph these years. You know, Ralph was in a long-term relationship for about 12 years with somebody in New York. And then – so really in the since I had known Ralph, he had been single, never really, you know, he hadn't been partnered up or really dated or that, you know, whatever. And so what I find amazing about this night is Ralph goes to this party and he goes there and he is introduced to a guy named Michael. And then I'll let Ralph tell you what brought Michael to the party that night and how he really didn't want to go and had not been out very much because of something he had gone through in his life. Go ahead.
Exactly. So the year before I met Michael at Sal and Yerbany's house, they have a screen door and it's really hard to see the screen. And I walked through their screen door one year to my horror. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And Sal was like, oh, it's no problem. It's happened before. And he got it back on track. And, you know, I was completely embarrassed, right? Well, in 2013, I'm sitting in the kitchen and this guy, Michael, walks through the screen door. I fell out laughing. I just laughed so hard because right before Michael had come in, I had been telling different people in the kitchen, yes, yes, I hold the record for walking through your screen door. And then Michael walked through it, and of course Michael was horrified, and he was even more horrified that somebody was just laughing in his face.
Laughing, uh-huh.
You know. Until I explained to him, oh God, you don't. What's your Michael? Hi, my name is Ralph. What happened? I did the same thing the year before, so now you are wearing the crown.
Like, welcome to the club. You've been initiated.
Welcome to the club. And then Michael and I were chatting at the party in the kitchen, and then we took it out to the fireplace. We sat in front of the fireplace and just got to know each other, and we gave each other a big hug. I left the party before him, and we had exchanged numbers. And that was December 29th, 2013. And from that day on, we texted each other every single day. So mm-hmm. The rest is history. We started dating and we got together. We didn't see each other for 3 months.
And let me just go back and say, Michael sadly had lost his partner. He coming to that Christmas party. Wasn't that one of his like first outings, like socially?
Exactly. Like, yes.
That he had lost a partner and was not really feeling up to really going anywhere. And
it was
not
his friend Tiffany who said, Michael, come, let's go to the party. You need to get out. And Michael he was starting to like, okay, yes, it had been a year. Let me go out. And I wasn't looking for anyone either. You know, I was, I take care of Rose. I was, you know how you and I have known each other since 2009. All I wanted to do was get my next audition and another book, my next booking. So I was happy go lucky. So yeah, I,
but what I liked about you guys is you kept it very, You built a foundation, like even with us and your friends, you know, you kept it very quiet. In fact, the first time I met Michael, when we all went to see you in a play and then we went to El Cholo afterwards, even then Michael wasn't you were not calling him your boyfriend yet.
Exactly.
It was just, you were taking it slow.
Yeah, because it was all new for me. And the thing, you guys all know, that I caregive for my mother. So it was like, oh, you know, I can't bring somebody into what I go through every day. You know, if I'm going to be with somebody, they're going to want to be in a relationship with me. Oh, you know what I mean? So it was like,
right.
I wasn't thinking that would, you know, I'd ever have a boyfriend, you know, I was content with that.
Well,
so
and
anyway,
it's also part of what we say about when it's always when you're not looking, you know, when people are always, when they're looking for a relationship, they seldom find it. I find that it's when you're not looking that
it's so true, Jasper. It's just like, you know, to put it, to make it analogous with auditioning, it's kind of like when you've either messed up the lines or you say, oh, God, that was the worst audition, or you just weren't in the mood to go to the audition or whatever when you book the part. So it's
right.
Like it was the
or when you get a job and you didn't orchestrate it, like it just organically someone remembered you from another job and they offered you something and you're like, oh my God, I didn't have to make that happen.
Manifested. Exactly. Yeah. No,
yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, you
and
can
so
vision
happens.
Board it and, you know, do The Secret and do all that bullshit. I'm sorry. Where people like write it on the board and, you know, and look where it's, I mean, come on. Oprah has done that for years. And she still has the same 50 pounds she's trying to lose. So go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, you know, Michael was a CrossFit exerciser, and Michael knew Sal and Urbany from the CrossFit box
mm-hmm.
and exercising. And I knew Sal and Urbany from performing on stage with them. So that's how Michael and I ended up at Sal and Urbany's house for the party. And then, which was so special, then in 2017, when we got to do Dementia again, and all seven of us in the show reprised our roles, mm-hmm. Michael got to see the show and got to see Sal and myself perform opposite each other. So I just got goose pimples again. It was such a great full circle, you know. So
it was full circle for me as well, because I had seen it the years before, but you know, it was almost like as if it, I didn't think it could be better, but you know, obviously it was better because you just each time you did, probably if you did it three more years from now, it would be amazing, you know.
Well,
so I thought, and your character was kind of the angel of death, you know, that was sort of how it was. Well, that's kind of how we think of your character, but
it was symbolically, yes, and you know, we did it. It was 7 years later, so of course we're all 7 years older. And it was so great, too, because I take such good notes and record keeping. Evelina, the playwright, who's also in the play, Evelina Fernandez, when I came to the first day of rehearsal, she was like, oh my goodness, you have a notebook with all the notes and everything we've done before? Thank you.
Didn't know you were like Miss Marples, did she?
No, I had all that shit written down. But because when I had done the show the first time, I never knew I was going to be doing it again. But I had taken so many notes because I had to learn so much in Spanish. So I was constantly writing notes about things, you know, and just keeping a journal of everything. So it was really a tremendous, tremendous theatrical experience. And full circle to Jasper for saying, Ralph, you need to let the industry know why and how fierce you are. And they were once again alerted of that and notified of that in 2010 and 2017. So last week, unfortunately, because of this virus and our quarantine, I never want to make it seem like, oh, you know, the virus, it's good for some things. But there are positive things that have come mm-hmm. from us having to go through this quarantine in terms of even with technology, just people having to learn how to do something different. But isn't that the way life is? If you can't.
Well, it's like you said, we have no choice but to reframe. You know, we've had to try to look on the positive side. And you and I have talked about this before about how coming out of this, you know, we're starting to see that. Yeah, a lot of offices are realizing they really don't need to spend the money on office space, and they don't have to have people in offices. We can cut down on the pollution, and we can all stay at home and work, and you know, and get just being closer to family, and you know, eating dinner together and stuff like that. So I know from the showbiz side of it, you know, and we're so excited because coming up in just a few minutes, we have the amazing Dee Dee Pfeiffer, a fellow actress. You know, Ralph and I get so excited when we have fellow actors on, but you know, we're into this world now of self-taping auditions where we don't have to go in the rooms anymore. And you know what I mean? We get cast mm-hmm. off the tape. I mean, it's, there's been some benefits of this as well, I think, you know, showing that we don't have to always travel somewhere to do our work. So, but that's an amazing story, Ralph, about dementia, and one that just, I think, like you said, hits on so many notes, personal, professional, you know, and like you said, yeah. it did show you how fierce you really are as a performer.
Well, absolutely. And what I was going to say about this pandemic is that now dementia, as of last week, it ended last week, but it was live streamed for no charge. So the entire planet could see it if they mm-hmm. so wanted. And that's what I meant about one positive aspect. And that's what we were all saying in our Zoom meeting, how people in all parts of the world and all my European friends now had access to see me shine in this play. And
whereas they wouldn't be able to just get on a play, you know, what was it? 300 seat theater. You're right. It can reach so many more people. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all a good thing. And so that all brings us back, Planet Earth and Jasper, to today, to welcome the wonderful Dee Dee on and
let's pick up where
we left off about her.
Well, we're so excited because our guest coming up today is, you know, we all call ourselves veteran actors, which means we've been around a long time. And selfishly, I saw that Dee Dee's birthday is January 1st and I'm February 1st and we're actually born in the same year, but of course we don't ever give our age, do we? So anyway, she is starring in this amazing new series, Big Sky, that's getting all the buzz. At this time, please welcome our very special guest, the wonderful Dee Dee Pfeiffer. Hi. Hello. Hi, Dee Dee. Welcome.
Hi.
This is Jasper. Say hi to Ralph, my co-host.
Hi, Ralph, your co-host.
What a treat to have you on the show. Thank you so much. We welcome you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited. Turk said you guys are a lot of fun, so let's go.
Yeah. So let me ask you, are you on the West Coast? Where have you been surviving the COVID? Were you on the West Coast or?
Yeah, COVID, man. And I'm with you on that. I have like COVID brain. It's like, I live in Los Angeles with my two boys and all of these rescued animals. And then we started the show, if you can believe it, literally right before COVID, we were in New Mexico. And we started doing some pre-production and I got on a plane to go home to get my boys all settled up to be like, mama's going to be gone for a bit. So, you know, start ordering some Domino's pizzas. So, I was on a plane on the way back and my friends are going, dude, you better go to Costco and get like some toilet paper when you get back. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's a pandemic. And I'm like, what is that? So I'm Googling pandemic and all I know is I get home and I fought for my life to get a bag of toilet paper. It was, I'm still traumatized. But then I went home, the production shut down, just stopped. And then we surfaced months and months later, and now we're in Vancouver. And there you go.
I read that you guys had moved the production up to Vancouver. So had you already shot in New Mexico, an episode or?
Thank God, only one scene, and it wasn't even a scene. It was a video of one of the characters makes a video of herself, and that was it. That day I had finished my wardrobe fitting. I mean, we had literally just the very beginnings, and thank God we only lost one day because that's good. Yeah.
So you've actually gone back and worked, you know, during the COVID situation, right?
So when I got home, everyone shut down. So that was crazy, right? We all were kind of in shock.
Yeah.
Then I came here a little over 2 months ago. It's almost going on 3 months and did the 2-week quarantine in Canada. Listen, their numbers are down because they don't play. They are
they
not
don't play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They don't play. They're like, look, this stuff kills you, so just do it. Oh, can I cuss on this? Wait a minute.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, yes. Oh,
hell
TV,
yeah.
We encourage it. We encourage it.
Guys, but here's the thing. My publicist said, don't cuss, Dee Dee, because he knows I'm a trucker. He said, you're on a major network show. Don't cuss. And I was like, fine.
We love Anthony, but yeah, I'm glad that he made us sound so clean and prestigious, but you can just get in the gutter with us if you want.
Well, yeah, Dee Dee, listen, if you're trying to preserve your reputation for Big Sky, that we can understand. But if you want to just be real with us, we encourage you to say whatever you need to say.
Thank you. My manager said, Turk, do not put her on the show with these two guys because she's going to have way too much fun. And he's like, oh, God. I said, Turk, that's it, man. Yeah, I'm going.
Here we go.
Yeah. These guys are in the gutter. I live there. I said, so.
Okay.
They're just going to meet me there, you know. We're just going to play there.
We moved from the gutter to the trailer park next door.
Yeah.
So we've moved up. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dee Dee, drive your truck over to the trailer park.
Yeah. Hey, I love trucks.
Yes.
So
Big Sky, everyone. So Dee Dee plays Denise. Is it Brisbane, right? Brisbane?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us about this character. What can we expect to see from her?
It's a crazy show. It's going to be a wild ride. All I have to say is buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. After every episode, you're going to be like, what? I can't wait a week to see what happens next. It's one of those. So it's really fun. My character, it's a very, it's a scary story, really. And it's a charged story on certain topics. David, who's so great about pushing that envelope on making you a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's thought provoking. It's not uncomfortable just for shock value. It's uncomfortable because it's real, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this show is no different. It fits right in that real life situations and character development. I can tell you one thing, I'll never go on a road trip again, probably for a really long time.
it's pretty scary.
But Denise is definitely a little bit of light in a very dark story, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And are you single on the show? Do you have a family?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really know not much more than you guys.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
Denise. Yeah, they keep everything very quiet and secretive until you get the script.
Right.
I am the office admin, like, you know, the mama bear, the office manager. Mm-hmm. Denise has been in this detective office for many, 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 many years. She's part of the wallpaper. She's everyone's rock. She's everyone's go-to. She doesn't judge people, but gossip is her currency. But she doesn't use it in a vicious or mean way. She likes herself some gossip. It's a small town in Montana, but she uses it more to really bond with people, connected, and she's a peacemaker. She knows how to use her humor to try to de-escalate situations that can get a little painful, maybe, or dark or serious. She just kind of throws in a little light to keep the audience and the characters in the piece a moment to breathe. You know, one of those characters. Yeah.
Well, I love this cast. Ryan Felipe, John Carroll Lynch, Brooke Smith. I mean, you're Valerie Mahaffey. I mean, these amazing actors so I don't know if everyone knows, you're getting to work with your brother-in-law. I was going to ask you about working with family. I'm sure there's a comfort level in that as well. Or I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if there's more pressure or if it's more comforting. I'm not sure, but.
It's a great question.
You know.
Actually, it's a great question because, first of all, I have an amazing, supportive, loving family, and we don't talk shop. We don't talk shop even before David got into the family. We just kind of we do what we do, and then we talk about life things, very ordinary things that like normal people talk about. But we work our butts off. That's for sure. We have strong work ethic. So when we see each other, last thing we really want to do is bring work home with you, right? So when I got this role, I thought about that. I'm like, wait a minute. I know David, like, you know, on Thanksgiving when we go fishing and stuff, right?
Right.
Man is this really sweet, shy, quiet guy, but man, he's a mean fisherman. Do not get on a boat with him. And if you pull that schnook in, he shoe aside and grab a pole. And like, I'm like, whoa, this man's crazy, which is so not like him in real life. So, like, I know that guy. So when I see him in a Zoom meeting, I don't know how to act. I'm like, do I act like Didi on Thanksgiving, or do I act like another professional? Like, I don't know him. Do I act like I don't know him and he's just another producer? Do I kiss his ass? Like, you know, like,
right. Well, that's what I was wondering. Like, I was thinking that.
Yeah.
I was like, how, you know, how do you, it's almost like if we, I mean, we've all worked with friends even, you know, like if we have a friend that's the producer, but then when you take it to the next level, but I like what you said, like a lot of people think that actors just talk show business all the time, you know, or it's like, it's like lawyers don't want to go home and talk about, you know, being a lawyer all day. So it all makes sense. But I know there's so much
asshole, and then you move on. You know, that's maybe the end of it. And you never know the name. You don't even know. Like, I don't even know half the shit Michelle's doing all the time, or David, because I'm kind of busy doing other stuff.
Yeah, you kind of have a busy life yourself. Now, how old are your boys? Are they teenagers or?
They are. They're my youngest one just literally turned 15 3 days ago.
Wow.
I know. Talk about mind blowing. Whoa, I sneezed and that happened. And then my oldest son just turned 18 in June. So he knows all the
answers. Oh, my God.
He's an adult.
Well,
he knows all the answers now, right?
My mom had four. I was the youngest of four boys. And I used to think, no wonder she needed a cocktail occasionally. Because, two teenagers are, you know, enough, I guess. But they always say moms and sons have a very special relationship.
Well, I'm a single mother, always have been. So from the get-go, actually. So it's like there is a bond for sure. Because it's like we're like the Three Musketeers. Or actually, mm-hmm. We're like the Three Stooges,
right.
For sure. Sure. And because we're goofy, we're funny. And honestly, I always kind of like, it's kind of like, don't make me have to be your mom. I'd rather be your friend. But then they do something stupid, and then I have to go in and be like, okay, well, there's a consequence for that action. Yeah, but what? Give me a defense as to why I should not pull your electronics. Because that was just a stupid move. I mean, that was you, not me, man. Don't be like yelling at the officer who pulled you over for going 150 in a 10-mile hour. What's wrong with you, right? So,
right.
I talk to them with respect, and then they respect me in return. I taught them that. So
yeah.
We have a great relationship. I love it when we can just kind of hang and be friends, but it's not often because they're teenagers and they still need guidance and boundaries and have to remind them that there's consequences for their actions. All that stuff that's just not the fun parent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. All that stuff that we don't want to have to do. But now you grew up with most, is it just sisters or did you have a brother? Is it just you and Michelle?
It's my older brother, Rick. And then my older brother, my older brother, Rick. And then comes Michelle, my older sister. And then I'm the next girl. And then my younger sister, Lori.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Okay, so you had four also, three girls and the boy.
There's a lot of Pfeiffers running around. You guys just don't know what it means.
I love
in the cracks in the city, and we're hiding.
Well,
out.
The thing is, you were, I know you were born in Midway, but you kind of grew up in Orange County, right? Is that, did you grow
up?
Midway
City is a little teeny town in Orange County, not rich. It's literally right under the 405 freeway and Beach Boulevard. Crammed between the Garden Grove and Santa Ana.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. It's, when I say Orange County, I always have to say not the rich part. I don't even, it's unrecognizable
right.
to me.
It's not the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Dude, I went down there like 10 years ago and it was unrecognizable. I hadn't been down there for like ever since my mom passed and she went to the light. And I went down there and I called my sisters and brothers and said, what the bleep happened to, where the fuck? And then Rick's like, oh yeah, I know. And Michelle's like, oh God, can you believe it? And I said, it's like Beverly Hills threw up all over the place.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Newport Beach, that whole, I mean, Dana Point, Dakota, DaCosta, all that area.
I mean, I was down there with Dwight's. It was one little like station surf house and we just watched the cute surfers and ditch school. And, you know, it was like a drill rig. The most prominent thing on the beach was the oil rig, and you just kind of watch it. It was kind of hypnotizing. But But
wow.
Right. And a little surf. We had a little surf shop and just really simple. Like, yeah, now it's crazy down there.
Well, I guess I'm not, you know, people think, oh, you grew up near the entertainment industry. But what a lot of people understand is like, that's, you know, you could grow up it's like being in a small town and LA is kind of like the big city that's far away, you know, don't go into the big city kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I used to get busted. Lori, my little sister and I, when my parents would go to sleep, we'd take my punch buggy, no punch bag, it's a 66 Volkswagen, and we'd put it, push it down out of the driveway, and push it down the block and start it up and drive to LA and dance illegally. Oh my God, we were terrible because that was the big city to go to LA and dance. That was huge back then. And we were illegal. We were young. No one checked your license back then. And
no, or we had fake IDs. I don't know if that was big out here, but in Georgia we had fake IDs. We also married our cousins, but that's beside the point. allegedly.
Oh my God. Yeah. I had a fake ID too. Yeah.
Well, what I love about you is you've had this amazing career, and so much of it is in comedy. I mean, people can tell right now how funny you are. But for a lot of us, I think we first got to know you on Sybil, the sitcom, which was such great writing and another great. I mean, you've been so blessed with your TV experiences. Would you say that was a big break, I guess, for you, especially in television?
Yeah. I had been working since I was 18. I'm now 56. That's right, boys. Uh-huh. Actually, so I can say 56. Because here's when you turn 50 like I did, that was just way too serious. So I threw a big fitty party. So I'm 51, 52, and I'm 56. Too boring. So when I'm 60, it's going to be 60, 61, 62, right?
So I love it.
So I'm 56, right? Some people get it, some don't. But anyways.
I love it.
I've worn it a long time since I was 18. So if you do the math, that's a long time. I did a lot of stuff before Sybil, but yeah, you always have that one thing that people, all of a sudden you go to the same grocery store every day, and then overnight they go, oh my God, I saw your TV last night. You're like, yep, I hit it. I'm now recognized.
Overnight success. Yeah.
Yep. Like for Michelle, I remember it was literally we'd go to Kmart. We were always messing around, me and my sisters at Kmart. I don't know why we hung out there, but we were so silly. We went up there like over right after Witches of Eastwick. I'll never forget it. And we went to Kmart and people started pointing and running and at her, and it was kind of scary actually. And that was the end of that. Her life changed forever after that. And but she did, but she's like huge. I was like moderate, I would say, which is kind of really represents me in general. I'm very moderate about everything. Like sometimes people recognize me, but not really a lot.
You change your look a lot. I mean, you change your look a lot from characters, you know, too.
Now, Denise is red. I'm red, guys.
Oh, you are. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's great.
I know. Well, what happened was we were next to New Mexico. The whole cast is sitting there in a big table, round table reading. And we looked up and everybody, except for like two people, were blonde. And it's a huge cast. It was one of those where everyone went, whoa. Is this like inbreeding in the show? Everybody is blonde. So they were like, we probably need to mix this up a little bit. So Jade, one of the other characters, she went brown and then I went red. So I was super, I'm like, yeah, Denise totally has to be red for sure.
Have you had the red hair before either in real life or on playing a character?
I did in real life during the actor's strike, which I think was 80s or 90s. I was out of work.
Right.
The actors went on strike and I colored my hair red and it was super fun, except for I didn't know that whole fading thing. So it started turning to the orange pumpkin kind of color.
Oh, it's only good for Halloween, and that's about it.
Yeah, and honestly, I have olive skin, so it really wasn't working well with my complexion. And I couldn't understand why I wasn't looking so cute and sexy anymore. And then finally, someone said, "Your hair is just awful." They're like, "Man, that shit's turning. You gotta go get it fixed." So.
Everybody needs a really good gay friend for that. Friend to say, you know, girl, what's happening here?
Oh, I have almost all my friends are gay. They're the best. They just are like, no, Dee Dee, no.
No, that's so great.
No, I'm a bitch, and they're like, don't be bitchy, and they're like, don't hate, and they're like, honey, no, and I'm like, honey, yes, and they're like, no. We have.
Well, you, I mean, what's great about, like I said, with the Sybil, you know, it was the traditional three camera, maybe four. I don't know if it was, I think it was still three then, but Ralph does a lot of more comedy sitcoms as well. There's nothing greater than having the audience, the, you know, it's like doing theater and TV together, which was great. And then you went on, like, the show you did for almost 100 episodes, For Your Love, that was another big hit comedy with Holly Robinson-Pede and D.W. Moffat. You had another great cast of people. And that was how was it doing a show for that long? Did you love, obviously, the security of it, you know, getting to know you had a job every week was good.
You know something, I'm glad you brought that up, because I don't take my luck or my this opportunity to act, or any time I've been able to, I've gotten hired, I don't take it lightly, especially in a profession where less than 1% work at any given time, you know, for a lot, you know, so when you get a gig, I really like, I'm so always so grateful, always so grateful.
And we try, me too.
Right, dude. I mean, like right now during a pandemic, people in food lines, it's like, what the
I know.
Fuck?
I know.
Theater is down. I mean, everything is just really getting hit hard. And here I am at 56 and I get a gig. It's like, wow. Like, it's like my appreciation and gratefulness is like on steroids. Like, I just it just brings me to tears that I'm so lucky, because there's,
And it's so great to hear you say that, because what is the stereotype that we always hear in Hollywood about women? Oh, God, you're 40, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, and you're 56 and you're thriving. So you have just broken that stupid ass mold. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And,
well, first
and,
of all, let's get it straight. City sex.
City sex.
Well, I'm the same age. So I didn't know in the beginning, I was mentioning that my birthday is February 1st, 64, and yours was January 1st. But see, even me, I was like, I don't think I better put her, you know, I don't want to put her age on blast. So I wasn't even. You know how it is. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. So, but
you know,
I love it.
I'm going to bust down all of this bullshit, because we need to start getting real. I'm not going to speak right now. I just really think that we need to get real. We have to start everyone take a big breath. We need to push the reset button. I'm 56. Okay, I said it real. That's so boring. But like you had said, that whole like, when you get older, you can't work. Well, a lot of people are not writing roles. This is true.
Mm-hmm.
They thank God. Look at all of us in this cast that are actually on the old, you know, on the older side. And, you know, I like to call myself recycled. I've been around for a long time. It took off 10 years to go by degrees. And now I'm back. They recycled my ass. And I say, hey, recycle me all day long.
It's the Green New Deal starring Dee Dee Pfeiffer. She's been recycled. Back and better than ever. I love it.
That's right. Recycling is the nice and polite thing to do. It's a responsible thing to do, and we should do with actors as well. But the thing with the older woman thing, that's always been, that's why I took a break 10 years ago to go, well, that's not the only reason. I took a break because I wanted to go help people and get some degrees in social welfare. But honestly, that's
which is amazing, by the way. Congratulations. That's so great.
But I get people say, why do you tell people your age? You don't look your age. And I said, you know, because I got to tell you, if I'm going to tell a guy my age and that number offends him, or that number he's turned off, then I don't want to be dating him anyways.
Exactly.
What,
what are you going to do? Start a relationship on a lie? You can't do that. After you've taught your boys and you guys are the three stooges and stuff, they'd be looking at you like, Mom, what the fuck?
Yeah. I always say you have to own your truth. First of all, know what your fucking truth is. And by the way, sometimes your truth and your values change as you grow, of course. But own it. And don't apologize for it. You know, I am flawed. That's okay. I try very hard to be less flawed, you know. But I can tell you one thing. I think that I don't blame women, because it's kind of especially in front of the camera, they're cruel. And so But the more we can kind of stand together and say, yeah, I'm older and that's okay. That's okay. Because, you know, I know my truth. I know I'm sexy. And if I ever date again, which that's been a really long time, guys, I'm not going to have a problem.
It's kind of overrated at this point. Somebody was talking about sex the other day, and I was like, oh, I think I'd just rather have another cup of coffee at this point. I mean, <it's, laughs> I mean, yeah, seriously. I'm like, put some good flavoring in there, and I'm good to go. I don't know if I have the effort anymore.
Dude, I'm just going to say it's been a really, really long time for me, too. And all I do is drink coffee all day and all night. So I pick up the drops. I get it.
But Dee Dee, I'm actually married, and I'm saying it.
Oh, well, that explains it. See, here's it. Babe, I'm divorced. Three strikes, when you're out. Totally. But, you know, it's hard to do COVID. COVID kind of really.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're. Like, how can you? You can't. Not like the old school how we used to date, right?
Things have changed for sure.
I get that. I understand that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm
totally
sorry about that.
No, and you know, I was just thinking about, we were talking about work and being so grateful. You know, a lot of young actors always talk about when I make it, and I realized recently it's like I'm like 35 years into this business too, and when I look back, I think, God, I wish I had been more present. You know, at times there. Ralph and I talk about this too. Like, there is no when you make it kind of thing. Because even I think if you talk to a Michelle Pfeiffer or anybody, you know, everybody, you're making it as you're doing it. You know, as you're on the journey, you're mm-hmm. making it. So you know, we tend to put this pressure on ourselves as actors. Like, well, this is gonna mean I made it. But then there's always the next job, right? So. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be in the moment and be present and enjoy the journey.
Oh, God. Ding, 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 ding. Hit a bullseye.
Dee, when do you go back to Vancouver?
Oh, I'm in Vancouver. I came here 3 months
ago. Oh, you're there now.
Oh, you're there now. Oh, okay. Gosh. Okay. How's the weather? Is it getting cold yet?
It is getting really cold. I'm still in California. I was like, hey, the heat is on. They're like, well, man, we only turn it on, like, you know, when the season changes. I'm freezing. My boss is from LA. Can you turn this heater on? Cold.
I know. We're so spoiled.
Yeah,
well, I'm in Palm Springs, so it's really hot here.
Oh, God. Wow. Beautiful there now, yeah?
Yeah, we're just going like into the fall, which is like, you know, 85 during the day. But when I drive back into LA, I'm freezing. But Vancouver is so beautiful.
It is. And I love the Canadians. I've been more than a few times filming back in the past. Love the Canadians. Love, love, love the Canadians. And I keep threatening, if things don't change in the States, I'm moving my boys and my animals and my butt, especially if the show goes. I mean, like.
Yes. But, well, I think there's a really great chance the show's going to go. Because, I mean, so it premieres the 17th, right?
The 17th, and I think online interacting with people. I'm not sure. Again, I'm not very savvy. They said something. We have to be during I guess we're going to be online. People talking
online, live tweeting or live responding.
I think. You know, babe, this is all so new to me. I mean, I just got an Instagram account like a month ago. I don't do social. I don't do anything. Yeah, I had
well,
to get it to the show.
I wanted
That's
to tell people they can your Instagram is at DD Pfeiffer official, so people can follow you on there as well.
Okay, told me I'll give my name wrong. Look at my name. My first name,
I know.
Last name spelled wrong.
Well,
and
people
spelled wrong. Now people are going to look for that person instead of me. I love it.
Well,
I was like, Turk, did you tell him my name? He was like, oh my God, give him shit.
Well,
said,
listen,
you know,
oh my God, we want to have you back because we could talk for hours. I can't believe the time is going. So I wanted to let everyone know to please tune in on November 17th, Dee Dee Pfeiffer in cast. David E. Kelly's. It's called The Big Sky. I know it's going to be a big, big hit. Everyone can follow Dee Dee on Instagram at Dee Dee Pfeiffer Official. And it's great to meet you. You're just
yeah,
a
Dee
joy.
Dee, you're so much fun.
Oh, you guys are so much fun too. Thank you. This interview for me, and this was like a blast. Because I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
well, thank
no,
you so much.
You've got to come back after you have more episodes under your belt so you can tell us all the goings on.
Oh, my God. You're going to need to come back because these scripts, you're going to go, what?
Oh, my God. I can't wait. It's right up. It's right up my alley. So we're big, big fans. And I'd say welcome back. You know, welcome back to the business. And we're so glad you're back. And I can't wait to see you in this.
Oh, thank you. It means a lot. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks,
Dee Dee.
Take care.
Be safe.
Oh, wow. What a great interview, Ralph. She's amazing.
Oh, God.
I love her.
She is Feisty Pfeiffer is what I need to call her now, honey.
Feisty Pfeiffer. When I post the interview, I'm going to put hashtag Feisty Pfeiffer.
Yeah,
I love that.
Put hashtag Feisty Pfeiffer or hashtag Feisty. She is wonderful. You know, and I was going to say, you know, she has found a balance of being a friend and a parent to her kids, because in a few shows a few weeks ago, when we were talking about that documentary, The Social Dilemma, and you were explaining how you were saying how, you know, kids, parents aren't supposed to be friends with their children. They're the parent.
Mm-hmm.
They're
it's a fine line.
But she's found this fine line because she's always been a single mom. So there's no tried and true for, you know, everybody has to do their own thing.
Right. Well, listen, Ralph, it's been another great show. We're going to jump off here. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. As always, you can find us on iTunes and iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, and our parent company, BS Podcast Network. We will see you next week. We love you guys. Everyone, take care. Peace out. I'll see you soon. Take care, Ralph.
Bye-bye, planet.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.